Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Life by LifeWest. I'm Dr. Mary Oberstein. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Ron Oberstein, and today's guest, Dr. Richay Bell. Welcome, Dr. Richay. We're excited that people are going to get to know you a little bit better today. Let's start off with Dr. Ron. Why don't you introduce Dr. Bell?
I would love to. Dr. Richay, it is an honor to have you on. I'm just so excited to have this conversation. I love, it's just phenomenal. And I'll just tell our viewers. So Dr. Richay graduated. She's a LifeWest graduate, graduated in 2011. After graduation, she went up to work with a phenomenal chiropractor in Seattle, Washington, Dr. Darren White. And then from there, after her first year there, she went to her hometown, right? Is that correct, Richay? Went to Spokane, Washington to open up her first office called Clear Chiropractic. Since then, she has done amazing things in chiropractic. She's opened actually a second office, two of many that she wants to open up. She's a Blair practitioner, so she specializes in upper cervical C1 through 4. She's a diplomat of the first class from the ICA, the cranial cervical junction. She's just keeps on studying, keeps on doing amazing things. She's got a CBCT scanner in her office. If you don't know what that is, it's comb-based computer tomography. It's the only one within 300 miles radius of where she is. And they're absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen one, go on YouTube and take a look at them. Married, has two children, successful practices. I mean, she's it. So that's what I wanted to do. So Richay, I'm so happy to be able to introduce you.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump right in because the question I get asked the most as a woman is, how do you have a practice and have a family successfully, hopefully? And I'm going to utilize you today to answer that question for the people out there who are wondering, how do you do this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, that was my biggest question when I graduated chiropractic school, because all my mentors that I could find and my friends' mentors and people that I knew in Spokane even, and they were all male. And I loved them. They were amazing, but they couldn't tell me how to adjust with a giant belly. They couldn't tell me how to adjust and navigate what it's like nursing and trying to have an infant and stay home and also have a practice or build a practice. They couldn't tell me how to navigate learning how to readjust after being gone and having a, giant human come out of your body, because it changes things. The reality is, unless you've done it, you don't have any idea how to navigate that. And that was a huge concern of mine. And for a long time, I was like, I'm never having kids, because I had such a big vision for my chiropractic career and what I wanted to do in my community and world. And I just didn't have any great examples in my reality and my world at that time that I thought that I could do both. And so, that really has become my passion over the last several years, is creating and becoming that person or that individual that is a mentor to kind of help navigate. And so yeah, adjusting while pregnant.
you both have done that. I can tell. I know. Right? For sure. So yeah. Dr. Richay, let me ask you something, because obviously there weren't mentors for you, and as you said, you kind of had this fixed thought in your mind because you didn't have anyone to mentor like that, to mentor you, to be able to be that example, because your husband is not a chiropractor. A lot of times when chiropractors are married to chiropractors and the woman has a baby, the wife has a baby, or the significant other has a baby, then the male will go in and spend more time in the office until the female's ready to come back, obviously, or mom's ready to come back. And it's like, what how'd you navigate it? Like, what did you do, and what kind of tips do you have around that?
So what I did was work my little tush off to create an environment of culture that other people would want to be a part of. And I knew that I wanted to do it fast and furious. So I was a million miles an hour building my practice and getting my practice to the point that I could sustain and hire another person. So I did as much as I could through school, and then as much as I could in the first 3-4 years of my practice to create a foundation so that I could start bringing other people in and that we could be a team together. And so if we did have a front desk person who wanted to take maternity leave, it wasn't like, oh, meltdown, what am I going to do? How do I hire somebody who does all the things she does? If I had to go on maternity leave, it wasn't like, how am I going to pay my overhead? Who's going to see my patients? I don't know how I'm going to get a paycheck and pay my own bills. And the stress around that when I was graduating was, that was it. How am I going to take, I want to take 3 months off. I have a cash, you know, if I'm going to have a baby, I think it's important to spend some time with them. And I really resist the American culture and how, you know, when I just saw women just jumping right back into their jobs and their babies are, you know, 4 weeks old and they're sending them off to daycare because that's the only option they have because they have to pay their bills. And so I really wanted to create a different narrative. And so I just did the best I could to create that foundation for culture and then built the team so that we had multiple different people. The first associate was, and who's still with us, is Dr. Ellis. And we've navigated this first round of maternity leave together. And we were in one practice at the time, and I stepped out and she ran both of our practices. And there are definitely challenges that we've learned from and that we will refine as we continue to do this, you know, hopefully over and over again, as we have more females join our practice and allow that. So the answer is a team.
Yeah.
And you said 3 months off after you had a baby?
I did.
Okay. And then what did that look like? So that's great. So you set it up so that you could take the time off, the practice didn't suffer. And then what happened when you came back? How did you work that? Where was the baby?
Yeah. I seriously going into, even during pregnancy, I'm like, how the, like, I got no idea. There's no book. There's no, like, because you ask somebody and they're like, well, this is what I did. And then you ask the next person and they did something completely different. And like I said, a lot of times the two female practitioners that are really awesome, like that are very well known in Spokane, they never had kids. So it was like all these people these women that I would look up to couldn't navigate it. So I honestly had no idea. And I was going for it. With the help of my team, I felt confident that things were going to work out. But I started back part-time and I brought Abby with me for the first 6 to 8 months. And I got pictures, the front desk would wear her. I had a pack and play in one of our spare rooms. So when she would nap, she would be in the pack and play and we'd just keep the door cracked and patients loved, you know, going in and peeking in, and the front desk was in earshot. So as I was adjusting, they would just go grab Abby and get her. I found in the first 3 months that my cycle of nursing was every 2 hours. So I would nurse just before patients, see patients for 2 hours and have a 15 to 30 minute break. When we first started back in the office, her nursing bits were longer because they're smaller mouths. They take longer. Once you figure it out, those shorten. So I gave myself a half an hour break because changing diapers, pumping, nursing, spilling on your clothes, like you had to have time to navigate all of that and also not get behind in seeing patients. And so I just allowed a little bit of wiggle room. As we started really getting the groove, I would narrow down and put more patients in so that I had a 15 minute break.
Yeah.
Then at six months, she started getting wiggly and it was much harder to shoot, you know, crawling all over. And it was fine for a while. We actually brought one of those rollers that you stick them in and then they can walk around. So she'd bounce around the whole office and play, and patients could pick her up. And but then about 8 months, and that, so that was tricky. About 8 months, she started really wanting me. Mommy. You know, like she wanted me to hold her. She wanted, so that's when I found the daycare as close to my office as possible. I continued to nurse. That was one of the things that I felt very, very strongly about, is continuing to breastfeed as long as possible. And we actually made it 2.3 years. So almost 2.5 years. And so I found a daycare that was close. So I would then, I would pump in those same breaks because I wanted to keep my supply up. And so rather than nursing her at that first 2 hours, I kept the break and would pump. And then I would take my lunch and go down to, I would drive down to the daycare and nurse her at lunch. And then, so I would nurse her right before I dropped her off. Then I would pump, and then I would nurse her at lunch. And then I would have a 2 week pump, and then I'd pick her up and nurse her. There was a time where I couldn't, my patient hours were till six. And my mom got off of work and would pick her up from daycare, because daycares don't last till six.
That's right.
That's the other very tricky part, is daycares are like 8 to 6 or 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. And often our practices, we have to, you know, we're there. So navigating the hour changes to make it work. So my mom would bring her, she would pick her up from daycare, bring her to the office. And I was just working part-time. So that was 3 days a week. And then I would have her all day, you know, Tuesday, Thursday. I was working Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
So Rochelle, what I'm hearing is this, and I'm just going to give you my takeaways. What I'm hearing is that you created your reality. You know, you wanted to do what you wanted to do, and you weren't going to let anything stop that. You were going to figure out how to make this happen, right? And anyone, you know, if you just have the resources within ourselves to do that. And I love what you did, how you had her there, you know, and every 2 hours you had the schedule set up and all that kind of stuff, right? But I'm sensing that there's something in your mindset. You know, either you were an athlete, or there was something there that has, you have that indomitable will within that says, hey, I want to do this, and I'm going to make this happen, right? Where's that come from?
I absolutely was an athlete. I played volleyball and basketball in college, and we made it to the Elite Eight in volleyball for the first time in our history. So that fire and tenacity and will to win has been in me since I was little. I actually just had a friend message me a picture of a ski article that was in our Davenport Times, which is our local little newspaper, that I was like, you know, second in the state of Washington in ski racing at age 4. Like, there's just an, like, it was just crazy. So there's an element there that definitely I have. But what drives me now is not winning. I mean, I'm not playing a game. We're not keeping score, right? Like, what drives me now is that I know that 50% of chiropractors now are female. I have a very strong passion to represent our group of individuals and set an example. The lead by example piece, I felt I didn't have anybody who was leading by example. And I know that if I can do it, then other women will also have the courage and, you know, understanding that they can do it too. So the passion for me now and the drive is to lead by example and create that fire in other female chiropractors that you can do both.
Yeah.
Because honestly, in my head, I was either going to push the chiropractic pedal 100% or push the family 100%. Because that's what I saw. It was, as soon as you have a family, whoop, take the pedal off of your chiropractic. You're going to have to put those dreams on the back burner. They're going to have to wait until you raise your babies, which is a great option. And if you're passionate about that, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's just not how I felt. I wanted to have my cake and eat it too, essentially. I wanted to figure out how to push both pedals.
Yeah. You know, Mary, it's interesting because, you know, we're, right now, what are we witnessing, right? You know, two of our daughters, You know, one Riche, our oldest daughter, has two children, just had her, you know, her second child in November, just before Thanksgiving, right? And then our second daughter, you know, just had her first baby right after Thanksgiving, and both still practicing and doing their thing. And it's the same thing. There's so many ways to do this, right? I mean, you know, it's just beautiful. But I agree with you so much about having mentors and being able to do that. And I want to thank you as a male, but who's, you know, the father of, you know, three women chiropractors, married to a woman chiropractor. I want to thank you for stepping up and really wanting to be that one of those lighthouses, right? You know, with to be the beacon for other women to be able to, chiropractors be able to come and talk to and ask, right? And be able to be there. Mira, can
also work in, so that's like globally, right? But also the environment within that we're creating, our practice model. I want other excellent chiropractors and associates to be a part of our team so that we can work together and cover each other. And then when you're gone, don't worry. Like the stress of having your first baby to begin with and the amount of upside down that your world turns and you have no idea. And then to add trying to start a practice and what am I going to do with all of the business and the taxes and the payroll and my patients and adjusting. And it's like mind boggling. And you know how much, I mean, we know as chiropractors how important your physiology is in creating a human. They feel your stress. And so to create an environment where there is virtually as little as there's, you know, you can't limit all the stress, but there's as least amount of possible that you don't have to worry about all those things too. We got your back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have heard students say to me, you know, when I said, what do you want to do when you get out? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to practice? And they've said, well, I mean, I'd like to have a family, but I don't know if that's possible. And you know, I came from a situation where my husband's a chiropractor. So in my mind, it was easier. I just stepped out. Ron handled all the patients. When I wanted to go back in, I stepped back in. But I love your story of how you made it work and your husband's not a chiropractor. And so there's somebody in this audience, probably many people who are listening, who probably just took a deep breath and said, oh my gosh, I can do this. Yes. So thank you for that. Yeah.
But I do think the importance of being willing to work with another person. There is an element of being open to being a team, and that other person is going to have ideas, and that maybe is where the sports piece comes to. I was always on a team in sports. And so having that team element, Mary, I mean, I couldn't have done it without Dr. Ellis. My story, my maternity story would have looked completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, my view is you would have found a way, you know, just because,
you know,
of who you are, and you're looking for a way, and that's how you created your reality. I want to move into another section if we can. And, you know, you started with one practice, you grew to two practices, you got a vision of opening up multiple practices, right? You know, in your area, maybe beyond your area, whatever it is, you know, what tips do you have, you know, for success tips, you know, for the new practitioner, the practitioner who's thinking, you know what, I think I want to open up a second office, or, you know, one or two or multiple, doesn't matter, you know, because what tips do you have for them, Riche?
First and foremost, right? Chiropractic is the foundation. Chiropractic school is the foundation. You still got to build walls. You got sheetrock. You got electrical. You got plumbing. I mean, the rest of your house is built after your foundation.
Yeah.
And so if you've never built a house before, are you just going to go try to do it on your own? I mean, you could. It'll take a really long time. It'll probably cost you twice as much or more because you're going to make mistakes and then have to rebuild again, right? Or you designed it wrong and your house is too small. Now you're going to have to build another house, right?
Yep.
So for me, my biggest tip would be to invest in yourself and invest in your team and spend a lot of money doing it. My greatest expense in practice, aside from payroll, is coaching. I've gone through every year I have a coach. I've stuck with some coaches for several years. I've stuck with some shorter amounts that were great. I needed one hurdle to get through and they helped me with that. I've had overlapping coaches. I've had business coaches and then a life coach. And then, so I'm always seeking, like Tiger Woods has a coach, even though he's the best person. And, you know, Michael Jordan still had a coach. Yeah. Like, I think if we set our ego aside and realize how much we can grow and learn and how much we don't know about ourselves, having somebody hold you accountable is going to help you succeed. We always tell our patients, you want to get better faster and stay better longer. And as a chiropractor, I want to do the same.
Yeah.
I want to get better faster and stay better longer. And however I can do that, I think being a coach, having a coach, if you're struggling, trying to figure out the business side of things. I mean, you're supposed to have employee handbooks for every employee. And walk into a chiropractic office, 90% of them probably don't have handbooks. But you can, I mean, that's a big, from an L&I perspective, you got to have that stuff in place. And I hired a business coach who held me accountable to do that crap I didn't want to do. But it's important, and it's what helped me create the foundation for replicating what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to be there. They can reference my handbook now, right? Oh yeah, what was that? I can go, you know, they can find anything. I mean, I vomited all over these books and anything that I knew, right? So so the answer's coach, get a coach. If you're struggling, like one of my first struggles, this is my, we might get into this, but after graduating, the hardest thing for me is to go from being a student and you're paying, what is this tuition at? I paid $200,000 for that random person on the street in Hayward to come get adjusted. Like I was paying $200,000 just for that adjustment, right? They were, you know, maybe paying $25 or whatever it is now, at the front desk on their way out. But I was like begging them to come in. I would pay them to come in, right? And then you turn around and graduate. Now you have DC behind your name. And now you're asking them to pay $70 for the same service you just provided yesterday, paying them to do, right? That is a huge, that element of confidence. And like, this doesn't seem right. It's like, even though you know you worked your tush off to get that and you deserve to be paid for the services that you, there's still like, you're going to have to pay $70 for that 5-minute visit. Yeah. You know, yeah. It messes with your mind. It can. So I remember actually Lee Newman at the time. So Darren was my mentor in practice, but he was working on another business and he didn't feel like he was present enough on that aspect to help me. So again, he hired another coach for us. We have to leverage ourselves. And if we can't do it, find somebody who can. And so he hired Lee Newman and Lee goes, okay, what's the biggest care plan you can come up with? What's the biggest amount you can think for that? It ended up being like 36 visits over 6 months, something that we don't even do in the practice. Like the longest we had ever done, Darren taught me, was 6 weeks. So he's got me doing this huge care plan that's going to cost, $2,700. And he's like, you're doing it. And I'm like, There's no way this person is going to sign and pay for this. Like, I'm like in there shaking. When I got nervous, I get so blotchy. And so my face, I'm sure they are noticing all these red like splotches coming up. And I'm like presenting this care plan. They freaking sign, pay in full. They schedule. And like, I call me the end of the day. I'm like, woo!
I love it.
Well, it goes to show you don't even need the confidence.
The breakthrough. I had no confidence. I just had the accountability of somebody telling me I could do it. And this is what you're going to do.
Right. And that's the job of a coach, obviously. Right. Players say, I don't know. You can do it. You could do it. Go start. And when you get out, what I'm hearing you say is we just got to get out of our heads, right? The limiting factor is up here, right? And the minute we get out of that and we just offer what we have, people are going to want it if they trust you, right? And if they know you and they feel you more than anything, right? And they just know this is the right place. What would you say right now? Like if you were to give some tips to you just started your second practice. What, how long ago was the second practice?
June of last year, right in the heart of the
COVID
crazy pandemic.
And probably the greatest time to start, actually, you know, and everything's perfect like that, you know, and your practice, your first practice, obviously uber successful, and then you enabled you guys to start your second and third. What was like a few things you did to get out in your community to let people know you were the, you know, you were the 4-year old, right? You were the 4-year old who was the best downhill skier, or fastest downhill skier. They didn't know that, your patients, right? Obviously. So what did you do to have them, you know, all of a sudden get to know you?
Everything possible. I first started with a very clear vision of what I was bringing to the table. I think what would set me apart from, why not go to any other chiropractor? And I think that is the most important part about a new grad being successful, is you have to feel confident in some sort of niche. And that way you can talk about, you can seek that patient, your ideal client. I was very clear about the fact that I was, you know, practicing specific upper cervical chiropractic care. There was no bending, twisting, or popping. My target market was women between 35 and 55 who have headaches and migraines. They have a great job. Their children are a little bit older, but they're the health decision makers of their family. And they're realizing that they haven't taken care of themselves as they were raising a family. And now they feel they have a little bit of time and freedom and money that they need to start taking care of themselves, because you can't pour from an empty cup. That's my avatar. And so I did that. I went where my avatar lived. And those were at runs, those were at health fairs, those were at baby fairs. I scheduled every networking event I could find. I was, and still am, in Business Networking International, Executive Women International, IMBA, which is a local LGBTQ chamber, because I felt with all of Spokane's very conservative and not diverse. And so if there was somebody that fit my avatar and was a minority, I wanted to reach them. As I'm very broad spoke, open-minded, much more so than several of colleagues that I know. So those events and networking groups, because I had my clear person and knew who I was going to be helping, I could communicate what I do, how I do it, and how it's different very well. And that in turn led to patients, even if they were seeing another chiropractor, and if they had hit a plateau, or if they told they'd never been to a chiropractor before, or they've had a bad experience, that's where I can say, well, just because you went to the dentist and you had a bad experience, right, doesn't mean you're never going to go to the dentist again. Yeah. This is what we do. What do you have going on? And maybe I can help.
I love it.
Wow. And I know we're getting close to that time. Before we take off, I want to ask you a question. Where do you see chiropractic in the future, maybe 20 years from now?
That is a big question. We've talked about my vision a little bit, just having a place for women and just building their families and pushing both pedals and team. And I really see chiropractic fitting in that vision as well. I think we graduate and tend to want to reinvent the wheel over and over again. And 90, what is it, the statistic? 80% of small businesses fail in the first 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. or 3 years, and then 95% of small businesses fail within the first 5 years. I mean, chiropractors fit in that statistic, and we don't have to. We have very successful docs who have, you know, the skill set and understanding. And so I think being open to mentorship and associateship, and not having such a negative, you know, connotation around, if you're an associate, you're just an exam doc and you're running the front desk and you don't get to see patients, or you're doing all the dirty work for the practice, right? Like, I think in general, my vision for chiropractic is very collaborative, very team oriented, and within techniques as well. I refer to chiropractors in other techniques. What I do is no better than the person down the road who's practicing different than I am, because there are how many billion people in the US, and every person is going to resonate with a different chiropractor. There is a place for all of us in what we do. We have so much to offer as individuals. And so if we can collaborate and work together and put, again, put our ego aside and know that you're going to add value to this patient for this time, and maybe I'm going to add value to this patient for this time, and we're each going to be that the right person for them in that moment to help them reach their 100% potential and shine their brightest light for our world. Because we have a lot of people not shining their bright lights, and they're on medications and their organs are being cut out, and they need us. They need our philosophy and our understanding of human physiology and health. Yeah. And so my vision is that collaborative within each other, collaborative with our schools, and coming together as one.
Oh man, I love it. I love it.
That's great.
Well, we've reached that time. I mean, we could just keep going. I'm telling you.
I know.
But Roshay, we always end these Life by Life Wests, which is a really wonderful series. I have to tell you, you know, we're talking to people like yourself who are out from, you know, whether just recently graduated to, you know, 10 to 15 years kind of deal. And anyone will just get great information from everything you said, whether I'm in 40 years in practice right now, or not in practice anywhere, but 40 years in chiropractic. I just learned a ton, you know, and whether they're, it doesn't matter where they are, but we always leave with two questions. So, and they could be answered the same way, but I'm going to have Mary ask you the first one.
Okay, the first question is, what advice would you give to yourself as a chiropractic student? So go back and talk to Dr. Roshay or student Roshay.
Well, first of all, had I known how hard chiropractic school was going to be before I started, I might not have done it.
We're glad you did.
I remember halfway through being like, oh my God. You know, up early, late with the quarter system or the, like, it's, I swear every 2 weeks you're being tested. I'm like, I don't think I could be tested anymore.
It's a sprint. It's a sprint.
It's such a sprint. It is such, and I did the 3 years cause I didn't think I was going to be gone from home anyways.
Yeah.
So, because of that, because of the stress of the intense sprint, I would tell myself to take better care of me and my health. I was burning the candle at both ends. I was learning all the things about health, but I wasn't, you know, eating as well as I should and drinking enough water. I think I lived on those granita smoothie coffee things that in the deli that were like amazing, but full of sugar and, you know, I think I would have been clearer and healthier, and you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. Yeah, and so it's the same philosophy and culture I'm trying to create now. It's like, how do you be a mom and have a practice? Because what happens is that you end up pouring from an empty cup because you got no more to give. And so I would have started that lesson in chiropractic school and learned how to do that better rather than waiting till I was in practice to really understand that, you know, the importance of not pouring from an empty cup.
I love it. Well, I've got the second question for you. And I think I probably know what the answer is going to be, but I just want to hear you say it. What advice would you give now to Dr. Roshay, right? The new graduate, so to speak, as a new practitioner. Actually, new practitioner, what advice, if you were to look back 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and, you know, knowing what you know now, what would you have said to yourself back then when you started your practice?
I would say be very strong in your philosophy. I don't think we realize when we graduate how many, I mean, you got to pay the bills. So when you got overhead and equipment and all of, you know, you're trying to pay your front desk, you're trying to pay your student loans. You know, you can only put those on deferment for so long. It's like the rubber hits the road. And so you will start to see your mind wander. We graduate, especially from Life West, knowing that we want to adjust. Chiropractic is life, and your spine and your nervous system is what's going to make the most impact on a patient is adjusting them and correcting their subluxations. Now, you get out of school and it's like, well, I'm adjusting, but this isn't, I'm not getting as many patients maybe, or I'm not making enough to really. So then you start to your philosophy, well, maybe I can add this and maybe I can add that. And I'm going to do this, or I'll charge for this. And because you're trying anything you can to make ends meet. And I think rather than letting your focus wander, because you know, you can have a tool belt with lots of tools and you can be mediocre at all of those tools. But I really, really think advice I would give 2 years out is rather than starting to try to be good at all these different tools and incorporate all these things, is actually master the one tool that you're going to be best at.
Yeah.
And so be very clear in your philosophy, be very clear in correcting, because nobody in the profession can do this. I mean, you guys, no other, you know, DOs, physical therapists, massage therapists, like they're working, they're body workers, right? We're all body workers and we're all helping people. But the detection and correction of subluxation that's going to free the person's nervous system as precisely and as well and as effectively as we do, and helping them get better faster and the least amount of intervention possible without the use of drugs and surgery, is the only thing that we have different from any other profession. And it is the most impactful, powerful thing you can and give to your patients. And so hone in on your philosophy on chiropractic and put the telemarketers, you know, in the, and I mean, the amount of people who sell you, try to sell you MLM, you know, you're selling doTERRA. Not that these are bad, they can all be complementary, but I do think for me, honing in and learning my technique and getting better in the adjustment itself and the analysis and the, you know, the care and the critical thinking for my patients, I think is what took that, and it is right around that 2 year mark is the most impactful thing that I did around two, three years. Cause that's when I started the diplomate and I really refined my skills rather than investing money elsewhere.
Right. Well, I figured it would be something like that, but what I heard you say, I'm signing up again. I love it. And I will tell you this, I mean, cause it's true, you know, keep the first thing first, right? You know, it's really what we do and it's what we do best. And there's no one else, like you said, can do it. And Rashay, I just want to just thank you. I mean, you know, we could just keep going on, you know, it's just incredible. And it's so cool to see just your passion and your certainty and, you know, and just your knowledge and who you are, you know, as a chiropractor, as a woman, as a mother, you know, and just kind of, like I said earlier, just, you know, you're just creating your reality. So whatever I see Mary, when you asked her the question about in the future, I see that happen. You're going to create that because that is what's in
absolutely.
Your.
Absolutely.
So listen, we've got to end. And I just want to let you know that we both, Dr. Mary and I, appreciate you so much for you joining us today and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and being able to share with others. We're going to have your website on the bottom so people can get your email. So especially women, you know, if they're thinking about pregnancy, thinking about how do I do this and questions. And I am going to have you at the college. As soon as all this stuff opens up, you will be coming to the college and doing some presentations and doing our seminar and then doing other work groups, you know, with women and men, but with women. And I'm just so excited. So thank you. And thank you, Dr. Mary, for being my partner in crime and being with me today, being with us today. And I'm being with you. And to our listeners, I want to thank you. Thank you for staying with us for another episode of Life by Life West. We'll be coming at you every week to 2 weeks with new episodes and new people and just dropping phenomenal pearls of wisdom like Dr. Rashay Bell did today. And most of all, you know, I think I can leave you with this, as Dr. Rashay so eloquently talked about, you know, keep the first things first, you know, do what you do and be you and be authentic. And, you know, don't let anything stop you, because only we can stop ourselves. And thank you for joining us. Rashay, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.